And so I'm going to preach a message today, and the title of it's called Take No Offense. Take No Offense. Amen. So you I'm preaching exactly what the Lord wants me to preach, you know? And so I want the Lord to encourage you, but I want you to not turn me off. Please don't tune me out. You know, don't tune me out. Allow the Lord to minister, to challenge you, to strengthen you, to bring some healing in your life, whatever God would want to preach to you. And, you know, we don't have this up here, but, I started out with that Matthew 24:10, and it says, and at that time, Jesus is saying, and at that time, because he's talking about the end times, isn't it? In Matthew 24, he says, and at that time, many will fall away. Can I just say, did you hear what I just said, though? And it said, and at that time, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. This is what Jesus was saying was going to happen in the last days. And I think, you know, obviously since Jesus rose from the grave, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. But I can see that in society today. So as I'm reading this, allow the Lord to speak to your life. And at that time, and it says, and many false prophets will rise and many and mislead many people and become lawless. And it says, and because lawless is increased, most people's love will become cold. And, you know, you see the lawlessness now where what's right or what's, you know, what you determine what's right or wrong, right? You see what's happening in some of these cities and states, and so people do what they want and not paying a consequence. Not paying any consequence. And I've talked about that before. But Jesus is saying at the last says that lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will become cold. But the one who, he says, but the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. Can I read that again? This is what it says. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. And it says the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. We don't know when the end will come, do we? Or when Jesus will catch us up to be in the air for him. But we know as a believer in Jesus Christ, one thing you know is that this better be a foundation to your faith is that he is coming again. Amen. He's definitely come again. And this is what Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians. And just you can write this down. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. It says, don't be shaken from your composure. No one is to deceive you in any way. Because it says, before the Antichrist is revealed, the apostasy comes first. What's that? Another thing where he's saying where many people's faith in Christ, they'll abandon it. They'll say, I no longer agree with that, or I believe that, or I don't believe in sound doctrine. I've made up my own about what I believe. And so we see that in a great, we see that in a great degree today. I don't know if you agree with that, but I see that. We see it in the colleges. We see it in the high schools and all the areas of education. Amen? And so I believe in America, that is where we have been. Many have denied their faith, it's called deconstruction, and followed other doctrines of demons. You see it more and more. I was just reading about Jeannie was telling me about a pastor of a big church in the Midwest somewhere, and he came out and said, hey, I'm just coming out and saying that I'm homosexual. And then nothing changed. Most of the church said, hey, we embrace that, and we still want you to be our pastor, and we believe that a life in grace means you live any lifestyle you want. And so that's what I'm saying when a great apostasy is meaning you can stamp Christ on it but live any way you want. That's truly a definition of lawlessness. And so so we see that in America. I can only speak for America because that's where I live. And so this offense, let me just say offense, if you look at it, means a feeling or expressing hurt, indignation or irritation because of a perceived wrong or insult, then it may be real, or being the recipient or victim of criminal or morally repugnant behavior. And so we see that where people say, hey, because of maybe the way I've been treated or what I've been through in today's society, I understand that the things that people have gone through. I can think of many, knowing many of you and the different things that God has brought you through, the things that you've been through that you're saying, man, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be treated that way. I didn't ask for this abuse or whatever it is or whatever happened. And so what ends up happening is you can get a generation of people that are full of offense is what ends up happening. Full of offense. And even in my own life as God, as I've been pushing in the Lord and different things in my life, growing in Him, amen, and realizing different areas in my own life is still carrying some resentment and bitterness that I'm trying to push through and say, God, help me to come out of this. It's not in my spirit, man. I know that I got a brand new spirit, but in my soul. Because I can tell, because certain situations or certain things will arise and I'll respond a certain way. And I don't even realize it, and I'll justify it. And now I have the Lord saying to me in my walk with Him, don't justify that anymore. Come out of it in Jesus' name. Let me heal that. Let me remove that offense, those bitterness, resentments, and hurts, so you can move on in me. Amen? And sometimes I had this thing where I recall, I'm just being honest and with you here, amen, because we all have weaknesses and struggles, and I don't care what side of the pulpit you're on, that's the case. I'd hate to be on this side of the pulpit and have to pretend like I've got everything together and that you don't, and only I do. Man, that's called hypocrisy. And I don't want to live a hypocritical life. Amen. And so the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, I want to remove these things that are holding you back, that have caused you to act a certain way sometimes, to respond a certain way. I'm showing these things because I'm going to set you free from those things where you don't carry those resentments, those bitterness, those past things, because I'm revealing to you so you can go on in me. I was thinking of, just as an example, like I've always had this habit of grinding my teeth. And I'm not talking about just during the day. I mean the night. I'm talking during the day. I find myself just grinding my teeth. And I've done it for so long and part of my life that grinding my teeth has just been part of it. Remember years ago, my wife would say, man, I can hear you grinding your teeth at night. Like, wow. That's freaky. But you know, I begin to realize and say, Lord, why do people do those things like grinding their teeth? Something internally coming out. Where you can have this. That's awesome. I knew someone was gonna laugh at me today. Out of the mouths of babes. So what type of, you know, as I was asking the Lord, I said, what type of anxiety, Lord, or fear I have in my life that I would find myself doing something I know that you don't want me doing, grinding my teeth all the time, or nervous twitches or habits. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm just saying these little things where the Lord's saying, hey, you know what? Every area of your life, man, the power of God, these things that we live with, that we'll say, well, that's just the way I am. I have that phobia. I can't be around people. I have that phobia. Really, what is that fear? Let's say what it is, phobia. What is that fear that's in your soul realm that still has a hold of you, that you still carry that fear that God wants to set you free from, wants to set me free from those things so we can walk in His peace and His love and His joy and His strength instead of making excuses of things that happened in the past. That's why I'm that way. I've got that phobia or whatever, the addiction or whatever, and whatever it is we may be struggling. And I remember a gal that worked for me, a sweet gal, but I'd have all these addictions. And she says, hey, give me, you know, sorry that I had a traumatic childhood. That's why I'm struggling with these things. And I say, yeah, that's correct. You're right. But Jesus wants to heal the inner man, your soul realm, that you don't have to walk in those things. That you can be free from those things. That you don't have to make excuses from. You can have all of these exterior shandai, praying for people, doing these things, speaking in tongues, all these religious facades that are a part of our lives, and still be walking in total crippling on the inside. I've been going this this vein because I feel like the Lord has been speaking to my heart for my own life. That said, Chad, I'm coming in a time in the church where I want to set people free from these things that they've just made excuses of for their whole life. Or not even aware of. The thing is, we were praying this morning. I don't care what kind of misfit you may think you are. I don't care if you think you don't fit in. I don't care what you struggle with. It doesn't matter what OCD you may have or whatever. God can set every part of your soul free in Jesus' name. God doesn't want people having a facade, serving in a body, doing all the, or whatever, but still be crippled in any way, shape, or form. He's coming. I think we're coming into a time where God is truly setting the crippled free. Amen. If you want to be free, you don't have. God wants to set you free. Now, if you want to hold on to your past, if you want to, what's the word I'm looking for? If you want to rehearse or nurse and rehearse those things, you can always do that because that's the society that we live in this world that. They nurse and rehearse, and they're saying, hey, I've been done wrong, and these things are happened to me. Therefore, they've justified themselves being in a generation now that's full of offense. You see it on the college campuses, full of offense for this group or that group. That is what the devil's doing, but under that, the Lord Jesus is moving by his Spirit, calling people and young people out of that, saying, forgive, I'll set you free, I'm going to use you for my glory. You don't know it. You don't need any substance, amen, to bring peace. I shall be your peace in Jesus' name. I reveal who I am to you in this generation. And I think he's going to reveal a revelation of who Christ is like never before. And I want to be a part of that. Remember what we've been talking about in Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And I just felt like the Lord saying, do you believe that? Or is it just something that we memorize and it's a cliche? Well, the Lord's been speaking to my heart and saying, no, Chad, call to me. I'll answer you, and I'll show you amazing things you don't know. I'll show you awesome things of who I am, what I've done for you, what I want to do for you, where I want to take you, what I can do in your family, what I can do in your neighbor, what I can do with the people you come in contact with. Basically, say, man, I can show you things that you'll never experience in the natural, that you'll never experience even when we're on a good beach. I'm sorry. Love a good beach, sorry. We're in the mountains. He says, my Spirit can show you things that you could never experience while you're here on earth. It's a taste of those things, of heavenly things. It's like Paul says, hey, man, I was taken up to the third heaven and I saw things I can't even speak about here on earth. The Lord's saying, call to me and answer me. Amen. Man, that we wouldn't be just caught up in the day-to-day things and worried about who said what and who did this and who did that. Letting those things go and moving on. Remember, we talked about that where Paul says, I'm letting those things which are behind me, they're truly behind me, and I'm pressing forward. Amen. Amen. You know, when you talk about offense and everything, it's a perception or a perception of injustice. So many pastors or believers are not willing to talk. As an example, I'm going to just say about injustices, or we're going to talk about injustices a little bit, and give an example. Like many pastors or believers are not willing to talk about hell from the pulpit because now it's offensive. It's perceived as an injustice. But that's not true. Jesus talked much more about, I'm going to tell you, as we've gone through the book of John, Jesus was offending people much more than he was affirming people. Much, much more. Because he was trying to give them the truth. And so what it is when you think about something like hell is, look, hearing the gospel, if you don't know Jesus Christ here today, man, he has died. Jesus gave his life for you. He gave his life for you, shed his blood for you, was raised from the dead, amen, is at the right hand of the Father, and he's now made a way for you to come from what I talked about, the kingdom of darkness, into his marvelous light. You don't have to go to a devil's hell or lake of fire. That was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for people. But here's the truth of the matter. There'll be many, I hate to say, many, many people there. And they'll be there because they got offended. and said, how could a God do that when the truth of the matter is he is an absolute 100% just God? He's given us a way. It's Christ come, all that are weary or heavy laden, and he will give you rest. But now we have it to where many, I hate to say this, and maybe just the way I've raised it, there's many people that are cowards now. Cowards who won't mention certain things from the front. And I don't know, I don't want to be a coward, because it talks about also in the book of Revelation, it doesn't go well for those that are cowards. And so for you and I walking in love and his spirit and his strength in today's world, we cannot be cowards to speak the truth in love. He didn't make hell for you. It was for the devils and his angels. But the truth of the word of God says that those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were thrown into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. You know what? Do I think that's injustice? No, this is how I look at it. Thank you, Jesus, that I believe in you. Thank you, Jesus, that I, by faith, accept your one path to heaven. I accept your one way to be redeemed from my sin. I forsake all other gods. I forsake all other voices. And Lord, I receive you. Lord, thank you for healing this broken heart. Thank you for setting this captive free. Thank you, Father, for helping me to understand humility so I can continue to receive from you. Thank you, Father, that I have passed from death to life. And I thank you that all my children shall pass from death to life. I thank you for all my grandchildren coming to know Jesus Christ, because I know you, Jesus, and I've given my life to you. And Father God, all those that belong to me, you love them. And my intercession for prayer, you are going to hear, and they're going to be in the kingdom of God with me. That's what I believe. And somebody else that says that's an injustice, and they want to get upset and say, if God's like that, I'm not going to believe in him. That's what you call lawlessness. That's a person that says, I'll determine what's right or wrong. That's truly the spirit of lawlessness. And that's exactly what we're dealing with today. As we have many people, and I'm going down the wrong avenues, I start hearing people that are saying, well, maybe hell's permanent, maybe it's not. Don't allow yourself to preach something like that. Don't allow that to something because you're offended about something that you would say, hey, I'm not going to preach that. Maybe there's a hell, maybe there's a not. And I heard somebody preach this, that, you know, hell's not eternal, whatever. I would never say something like that. Too many scriptures that are contrary to that, where it says the worm dieth not, the lake of fire that burns forever. I'm so grateful that I'm not going to spend time in the lake of fire. I'm so grateful that I've come into his life. I'm so grateful that I'm not lawless. I'm so thankful. I said, Jesus, I'm yours to command. Whatever you want me to do, thank you for writing your laws in my heart. Thank you for blessing me and strengthening me. Thank you for bringing me into meetings or what we call divine appointments, where I can tell others about your love. There'll be those that are crippled and those that are hurting that will believe. And there'll be those that are prideful that turn away from the gospel, don't realizing that he is the only way. So when people mock you and make fun of you, take courage. You are the one walking in the truth. When people mock you, when people make fun of you, take courage. You're the one walking in the truth. Do you love him this morning? So people who become offended make up a gospel that suits them to live any way they want. They can still listen to worship. They can pray. They can attend church all the while. Worshiping at Jesus allows them to be lawless, mean anything goes. Why preach? You understand, why preach this table? Jesus' heart is broken for many people who have become offended and turned to itching ears. But turn to a gospel that pleases the flesh, that pleases their flesh, the itching ears. And it's not God's heart is not that of anger and can't wait to pour out wrath. No, his heart is broken. He loves people. He gave his very best from heaven. Amen? Amen. A preacher of social justice gospel, not me. The love of God is not preaching that any behavior, lifestyle, or thought pattern is okay, but that Christ loves you so much that Christ breaks the power of sin and depression and removes every bitter root from you, if you're willing. Amen. Do you love him? Let me say this. Some of you might think that when we have an outpouring of signs and wonders, we'll be more accepted in the United States. And this might offend some of you, but I'm sorry. No, it will be the opposite. Example, Jesus and the disciples were all martyred, and they performed signs and wonders galore like we've never seen. So we live in a society today in America now where you've got a certain group that are totally opposed to the gospel, opposed to anything to the gospel. So even as God begins to pour out his spirit, this is one that you're going to get more pressure from people, just like it was at the first church. Paul, man, did he do signs and wonders? All the time, and the Jews couldn't wait to kill him. Jesus, did he do signs and wonders? Yeah, they killed him. So this is what I'm saying about America. As God begins to pour out his spirit and different things are happening, we're going to have a group of people that are absolutely going to come against the church of Jesus Christ. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about Peter. I'm going to get going here. I'm going to move on from there a little bit along that same line, but I want to get into the Word of God. And so my first point is Jesus was preaching the Word of God. Started with fishing at the Sea of Galilee. I was talking to Mr. Harris about fishing. I'm no good at fishing. I have no patience for fishing. I love to tell the story that I went fishing with my grandfather one time, and he loved to fish, and he took me, but we were camping because I think we were at Lake Powell, and there was this little mouse that was on the beach there, so I just wanted to play with that mouse and feed him and hang out with him. But my grandpa made me go out fishing with him, right? And so we're out there, and you know, after a little while, I said, "Grandpa, we got to go into shore. We're not catching anything. We're not catching anything. Why continue to fish? Let's go back to the shore." But I wanted to play with that mouse. And he said, "Chad, you've got to be patient. You got to be patient when you're fishing." And so I waited a little while, and I said, "Grandpa, I am positive we're not going to catch any fish." So that's being positive, right? But Jesus was preaching the word, and so Jesus was pressed against it in Luke 5, but Jesus was pressed against the shores as he was preaching. Peter, James, and John were there, all near, cleaning their nets after catching. You ever heard of a nothing burger? So they had fished all night, and they had a nothing burger. And so as Jesus was being pressed against there, he told Peter, who was there, and John, and them, they were cleaning their nets, and they're probably exhausted, and they're probably hearing Jesus preach as this crowd. And finally he says, "Hey, I'm going to get in the boat. Would you bring me out in the water so I can get a little further out, because this crowd's pressing against me?" And so I just kind of wonder, what was the message what was the message of the parable that Jesus was preaching? I always wondered. It doesn't say, but he was preaching, so they were listening. They could hear this. So Peter and John, they could hear the message, but they're cleaning these nets after catching nothing all night. And so with that, we'll start with Luke 5, verse 5 through 9. And so he finished speaking after he said, "Hey, take me out in the boat, Peter." And he says, "Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon responded and said, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear." Verse 7, "So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats to the point that they were sinking." Wouldn't that have been a sight to see? "But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken." So he had heard Jesus, and he didn't catch anything all night. And he says, "Hey, go out and try it again." He's like, "Man, we fished all night." He says, but at your word, I'll do that, Jesus." And so they catch all these fish, and it reminds me of one of my favorite verses in the Bible on Romans 2:4, which says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. It's a kindness of the repentance. And if you continue reading there, actually he goes on and says, but you won't hear it. He said, you won't hear it, so you're actually storing up wrath for yourself. But it is the kindness of the Lord, even to our country, that this country is still prosperous. And God's hand of blessing has been on this country. His blessing, his kindness, man. I think his kindness on this nation, as we see things rumbling, is to bring people into his kingdom. Amen. Say, I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were just talking about how we see, because of so many people lurching so hard left regarding things of right and wrong and truth, that it shook them, and now they're coming back to Christ. We're at a time right now where, because things have become so dark in areas, that you really can't stand in the middle. You've got to make a choice. Are you going to live in darkness, or are you going to come and walk in the light as he is in the light? Amen? And so as you see that, I'm starting to see people that are coming to the Lord that are, because of what they've seen and what they've experienced, what they can see going on in society, and say, man, even I can see that this is nuts. And they're giving their hearts to the Lord. And what I'm seeing is not only they've given their hearts to the Lord, but they're having a desire to walk in his word and follow him and say, what's the word of God saying about right or wrong? I want to follow him. I want to do what's right. I want his grace to have such an impact on my life. I want to be a doer of the word. So I'm seeing people not only saying, hey, I want to give my life to Christ. They're saying, hey, what's right and wrong? What's God think about certain things as far as right and wrong between husband and wife, male and female? Amen. Walking in truth, walking in righteousness, doing what's right in society again, willing to tell the truth. Amen. We're stealing, it's still stealing. Amen. Not making it, still stealing. Amen. So I'm seeing that. So we see where Peter here experiences the kindness of the Lord. And what does he do? He repents. He comes and falls down at Jesus' feet, and he says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. The kindness of the Lord did this. So the kindness of the Lord. Have you experienced the kindness of the Lord in your life? Tell he loves you. Man, my prayers with people that I'm related to, is, Lord, that they would experience your kindness. They would know how much you love them. Lord, that you would set them totally free. That you're not there browbeating them, but you're drawing them to you. The kindness, Peter experienced this kindness when he said, man, I've been fishing all night, doing things in my own strength. You tell me to go out. Do you just, one little thing, you say, go out, take the boat, go out. Tell me to put my nets out. I could have said, forget it, Jesus. I fished all night. I heard you just preach. You know, I don't want to hear any of that. Instead, he says, I'll do that. And the nets are cast. And what happens? They get all these fish. What's he do? He comes and falls at Jesus' feet and says, man, get away from me. But what did Jesus do? Jesus says, let's continue. He said to him, he says, hey, he actually said, you're going to be fishers of men. If I don't have that scripture, he said, hey, I'm going to change your life. And so that he experienced the goodness of God, repented, and began to walk with the Lord. You know, Peter was outside the normal Jewish circles. He wasn't in religious circles with the Pharisees or scribes. He wasn't with the crowd in the previous chapter in Nazareth who became enraged. This is what Jesus said. This was his first introduction to the ministry. He says his introduction to the ministry was as he was in his own town, and they said, hey, do the miracles that we've heard you do elsewhere. And then he goes into a little bit of a story, talks about Elijah and Elisha, about how Elijah had fed a widow, but it wasn't even a Jewish gal, and then how Elisha had prayed over somebody to be healed from leprosy, and it was somebody who wasn't even a Jewish person. And so they took offense. And so Jesus' introduction to the ministry, they tried to take him to a mountain and throw him over the hill, but he walked through them. And so then he comes to Peter, performs his sign, and then he comes to Christ. So point one, if I had point one here, it was Jesus was preaching the word of God. Point two, it's always the goodness of God, saints. Let me just stop right here. When you have people that don't know the Lord, or people that you're trying to shield or whatever, trying to get them to come back to the Lord, are you always browbeating them? Because that's how I was raised, that you were supposed to do it. Always letting them know what they were doing wrong. Man, are you showing in the kindness of how God has changed your life? Are you showing them where you have something in their life, in your life, that they would want? His kindness, His peace, His joy. Man, if we'll show them the kindness that God has given you, I think that'll draw them. If you show them that God has truly changed your life, and pray for them. Even if they have offense against you, you can pray that kindness is what's going to break that offense. Kindness is what's going to soften that soul and that heart. Kindness is what's going to show that you have changed, that Jesus has made a difference in your life, and it's what's going to make a difference in their life. So they drove Jesus away. That was his expense. And so number three, the opportunity of offense. I just want to say, so Peter, he gives his life to the Lord. Stick with me. I know sometimes sticking with the Word of God, it can be difficult, but I ask you, stick with me. So the opportunity, he had an opportunity of offense. So John 8, 31 and 34. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Then Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And so what I'm saying is, he began to talk to them about that. They instantly became offended. This was another time, if you go to the end of this chapter, they pick up rocks to stone him again. So as he began to preach the truth, what was I saying is, he had these disciples around him that were hearing these words and hearing the things that he was saying, and they had opportunities, just like everybody else, as they were hearing what Jesus was talking about truth, they had opportunities to become offended, but they stuck with Jesus. As they saw as they didn't understand what was going on in Jesus' life, as they didn't understand necessarily what was going on in their lives, they refused to be offended like all the other Jews around them who became offended. Not only became offended at Jesus and said, we're not going to listen to you, they tried He kept trying to kill him. And Peter and this group of people would refuse to be offended. And my question to you is, as you're walking in life, as you're walking with Christ Jesus, are you refusing to allow yourself to become offended? Are you refusing to allow those things that happen in your life to embitter you, or to actually, without realizing it, kind of change your perception of life, change your perception of even church, change your perception of people that are around you because of maybe unforgiveness, resentment, or bitterness setting in? Peter, as he's seen all these people become offended, as he's hearing things that don't make sense to him even, he refuses to give up or give in. Saints, for you and I to be successful in Christ Jesus in this day, in this age, we have got to refuse to allow ourselves to be offended by what we see, what's going on around us. Can we stand up for truth? Absolutely. Jesus did. Jesus was making people mad all the time, but he did not allow himself to become offended. Amen. For the people of God in this day, in this age, we cannot walk in any offense whatsoever in order to be productive, to have an effect. Because what will happen is you'll begin to change in some areas. You'll begin to not care about the lost. You'll begin to be upset at people and not even realize it. And it begins to change your attitudes towards people. Amen. Offended already be by those from your past. It can be pastors. Let's just be real. In a place like this, it can be ex-wife, ex-husband, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend. A parent, a child, offended at Christ because things haven't turned out in your life like you had hoped. In a society that lives and thrives in offense of the past. So the hour in this country to become either lost in offense. Now look at the anti-Semitic, this anti-Semitic thing going on in colleges. That's offense. Where were they when ISIS was murdering tens of thousands of believers in the Middle East? Did you see the colleges rising up and coming against ISIS? No, you didn't. Not at all. But that an offense against Jesus Christ, the spirit of Antichrist, is why you see these things rising up in the campuses right now. Believe me, it is totally Antichrist. It is totally against Jesus Christ. It is totally a thing of offense of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. That's what it is, 100%, is an offense of Jesus Christ. Genocide groups of people in Africa, you won't hear anything. Genocide other groups of people that you hear, you won't hear anything. But let Israel stand up for their country and what's right. Let them do what they need to do to be safe. And you've got these groups of people coming unhinged that could barely even point out the Middle East on a map. Amen. So here's the thing, Lord. Lord, I want to become unoffendable, embracing the gospel, everything. Having where my whole life, Lord, belongs to you. I don't want to be offended by anything anymore. I don't want to be offended at anybody. That doesn't mean you're best friends with abuse of people. I'm not saying that at all. Lord, anything that I've, that any of those things that are still rooted and grounded in me where I get upset at people, Lord, begin to uproot those by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of truth. And Lord, begin to pull those things out of my soul realm. Those past things that make me act the way I can act. Lord Jesus, let me be aware of those things that keep me from being successful in my walk with you. Lord Jesus, don't let me be blinded by religious things. Well, I do this, I do that. I go to church, I'm involved. Amen. I pray for the sick, I give to the poor, but yet still have all these roots and these offenses in me that are actually keeping me from being free. Religious people are the most bound people there is. They're the ones that put Jesus on the cross. They had the Bible. They did all this memorization. They did all these fastings and all these different things, but they're the ones that oppose the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So be unoffendable. Let me just read one of these things as we keep going. It says, so John 6:66, hang in there for a few more minutes. And as a result of this, many of his disciples left. This is Jesus. So hear this part. This is where he says, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They were okay to walk with Jesus when he was making food. But when it came to really committing their lives to Jesus Christ, they weren't in for it. As a result of this, many of his disciples left and would no longer walk with him. Wow. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to leave also, do you? Simon Peter answered, this is Keith, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have already believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. What was he saying? He says, I don't care what I face. I don't care what comes against me. We've already determined we're going to walk with you with everything within us. We're not giving up. We're not turning to the left. We're not turning to the right. We're not going to become offended like other people. We're not going to make excuses for things going on. Lord, we are totally 100% committed to you. We've already determined, Lord, that some of these crazy things we've heard come out of your mouth because we don't understand them yet, but we've already determined we're not going anywhere. We're here with you for the long haul. We're here till the end. Saints, I don't care what's going on. I think we're in some things, rough times, or many have turned away to false gospels or doctrines of demons. I don't know about you, man. I don't want to turn to the left or to the right. I don't want to be offended by any way, shape, or form. I don't want to start having a distaste in my mouth for the Church of Jesus Christ. I know it's full of people that have struggles, Lord. I don't want to be one of those that's offended by the church, Lord. I want to love your people like you love them, Lord. I want to serve your people like you serve them, Lord. I want to rise from any area that's asleep in my life, Father, to hear your voice clear and let go of those things that are holding me back. I don't want to be deceived in any way, shape, or form. I belong to you to the very last breath I take. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be unoffendable. I want to be unoffendable. And that probably is not even a word, but I may. And so many of them walked away. And so So it ended with another fishing trip. So I got to end with another fishing trip. It started for Peter with a fishing trip. And while Jesus was on the earth, it ended with another fishing trip. And all the fishermen said, that's the way it should end, right? And so Jesus had risen from the dead. They weren't quite sure what was happening. They had seen him. He spoke to them, but they did not know really what was going on. Okay, we've seen him. He rose from the dead. What's next? What's going to happen next? And so John 21, starting in verse 3, so Simon Peter says this. This is at the end of John. He says, Simon Peter said, hey, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are also coming with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Coming around the mountain when she comes. You ever done that? You've ever been at the same place? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for getting off those tracks where we keep coming around. And areas in our lives. Areas, you know what I'm talking about? Turning to those things when we're struggling to bring comfort to our lives that Jesus says, man, I'm breaking those off of you. You know how much I love you, who you are in me, that you wouldn't even be entertaining those things. Don't allow them to harm you. Don't allow those things to have a hold of you anymore. And so, yes, I'm going fishing. Sorry, computer here. We'll get there. That I'm going fishing in verse 4. So, and they caught nothing. And so when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. That the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish to eat, do you? So now he's calling them children. Are you his child? How much he loves you? Are you his child? Might be some areas in your life where you find yourself in that same boat again, maybe. But Jesus said, hey, children, calling his disciples. Hey, children, do you have any fish to eat? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find the fish. Sounding familiar, isn't it? So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits away, about 100 yards, dragging the net full of fish again. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already made and fish placed on it and bread. That's what Jesus was doing. He was cooking for them. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to the land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Let me tell you something. What was going on here is when he first had met Jesus, they saw his kindness. He fell down and says, get away from me, Lord. And then he went through all the things that he did in life, and he did not allow himself to become offended. He had failed God. He said, Jesus, I'll follow you no matter what. He had failed Jesus 3 times, telling little girls, I don't know him, being a total coward. The one with the big mouth saying, they shall never kill you. And Jesus saying to Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. All the different things he had done, the things that had happened, everybody, you realize, if you think about this, there was 120 people in that upper room. All the signs and wonders that Jesus did while he was on earth, think about it, and only 120 people were in that upper room. Where were the others? They had become completely and utterly offended by Jesus and by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think of everything, raising the dead, all the things that he did, and yet there was only 120 people in that upper room. What happened is most of those became offended as they walked with Christ, as they were in the church, as they lived life, as they were doing the things they were doing. They became offended, and their hearts became, without even realizing it, really became opposed to Jesus Christ. But what did he do? What did Peter do now? He'd been through all these things. And when they said to him, "Hey, that's Jesus out there," what's he do this time? He jumps out of the boat and goes towards Jesus. Instead of saying, "Jesus, I'm a sinful man, get away from me," because he'd come to know the love of God. He'd come to know the grace of God. He had not allowed himself to be offended by everybody else around him. When he saw that was Jesus this time, when they had caught nothing else, this time he's the one that jumps out of the boat, runs towards Jesus, all the failures, all the things that he had gone through, and he ran towards Jesus. When you don't allow yourself to be offended, you'll find yourself jumping into the waters of refreshment, the waters of purpose, the waters of the Holy Spirit working in your life, and you will pursue Jesus no matter what's going on, no matter what happens in the church, no matter what's happened in past relationships, no matter what's happening right now, you will not allow yourself to be offended, and you will jump in the water and say, "Jesus, I am pursuing you no matter what's going on in my life. I will not be offended and let the past hold me back even a little bit." Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, keep pursuing him. Diligently fight for your right to walk in his blessing and strength. I don't diligently fight for his blessing. His blessing's on me. I diligently fight for this. I'm not going to allow myself to become offended or believe lies or allow people to hurt my feelings constantly. Or they might hurt my feelings, but I'm not going to allow it to have an effect. I'm not going to allow anything in the past from the day I was born to the day that I am right here standing in the way of anything God has for me. You know, number point five, keep pursuing him. First time the nets began to tear. Did you notice that in that first story? You know, he wasn't ready yet for what God had for them. They weren't ready. Second time the nets did not tear, fully ready for what God had in store for them. Isn't that amazing? More detail. Before they were said there was many fish in the nets. The second time it gives exactly 153 large fish. The Lord knows everything he has in store for our life. I said, the Lord Jesus knows exactly what he has in store for our life. He knows every fish in your net. He knows everything of purpose. He knows everything from the past. But he knows everything for the future. Before the nets were tearing, this time the nets didn't tear. It gives the detail 153 fish. So you may be in a time where the nets are breaking. Maybe a lot is going on in your life. But don't quit even if you can't comprehend it. Don't allow the voice of the dragon, Satan, to allow him to bring offense or allow you to give up or allow you to just shrink back. Start listening to other voices and allowing deception to come in. And before you know it, people like that and with bitterness, resentment, they're serving a Jesus that's not even what's in the Bible. They call those false prophets too. False prophets are those who become offended. It says it in Peter and also says it in 1 John. I don't know about you, but I am not going to allow myself to be one that's offended in these last days. Why has there been people that have been walking away from the faith or saying things that are unbiblical? It's because of offense. You look at false religions. I was looking at the Jehovah Witnesses. Why was that religion, that false cultish religion, started? Because somebody became offended and said there can't possibly be a hell. And so a whole religious false cult was started because of that. But what it is, but in the future, God wants you to know that indeed he is leading your life. 153 large fish, no minnows in there. 153 large fish. I wonder, I said, "Lord, what's the fish that you have in my life, the things, the blessings of God?" You know, 1 Peter says, "Leave me alone, I'm sinful." God knew what Peter was, and more than that, he knew that he wasn't finished with him yet. Peter, what did Peter do? He didn't give up and become like the others who became offended at Jesus. The next time the Lord blesses him with this large catch. And Peter pursues Lord. He was stripped down to work. You know what happened during that whole time? Maybe sometimes you're going through things. Allow the Lord to strip things off of your life. And when I say strip, I'm not talking about harshness. It's allowing him to remove those things. Be open. Say, Lord, I'm yours, as I like to say now, yours to command. Those things in the soul realm that keep me bound, Lord, I'm yours. Strip those things off. Lord, those things that hold me back, strip those things off. It says he was stripped down for work. So he was stripped down that first time to the second time. He was completely stripped down. His life had been transformed by not giving up or giving in or allowing himself to be offended. And he was right. He jumped in that. But as soon as they said, there's Jesus, boom. Nothing holding him back. First encounter, let me say it again. Jesus, leave me. I'm a sinful man. Second encounter, after failing Jesus miserably, get thee behind me, Satan, all the other things. He runs towards Jesus. As we walk with the Lord and you move toward through every struggle, every hardship, every befuddlement of walking on earth, and as you keep getting up after every mistake and you allow the Lord to strip your mind and soul of every falsehood and everything actually counter to God's true character and love for you, you will hear his voice. Because what did he do? Right after that, he said, hey, do you have any fish? It's funny, he's on there, he has, and I'll finish up here in a second. He's cooking fish for them. I don't know where Jesus got that fish because they hadn't brought it in yet. But Jesus said this to them. He says, bring me some of that fish. Then it said, nobody dared say, is that the Lord? They knew it was the Lord. See, no matter what's going on, you get everything that God, everything you have, God's given you anyway. Amen. Everything you have, God's given you anyway. When he says, get whatever in your life, he says, give that to me. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. It's all his anyway. The struggles, the blessings. Then you hear his voice. They heard his voice. And bring me some fish. The blessing. Amen. Jesus is the provider. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to inquire of him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Do you know he's calling you? Right where you're at, speaking to you? Do you know his voice? Amen. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. He fellowshiped with them. Amen. But here it is. Do you know his voice as Gina, the piano player, comes? Can you stand up with him? Can you stand up with me? Sometimes I've come to realize this. People say, man, I don't hear his voice. He wants to speak to all of us through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm starting to realize? When a lot of times when we struggle with that, so there's other voices that have been in the way for a long time. Believe me, you're hearing voices. Where our minds, how many thoughts, different things, crazy thoughts, different things that come through your mind. This is what I'm saying, Lord. Lord, every offense, every past thing, Lord, I'm asking you to remove those things, all those hurts. This is easy. You say, Lord Jesus, man, I love you and I want to walk with you. Lord Jesus, anything that's standing in the way. You know, I've come to realize in my own life that religious duty can stand in the way more than anything. Because I'm happy with just doing my duties. But the Lord says, man, I want to speak to your heart. When he says, hey, do you have any fish? He wants us to hear his voice. Amen. He wants to speak to all of his children. So what I go back to Jeremiah 33:3, which says, he says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know is not. Lord, thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you for, Lord, showing us. Lord, thank you that, Lord, we don't have to have, we're not like in the Old Testament, we have we don't have to have a priest. But we don't have to have somebody to search out God for us. Lord, we can search you out ourselves through your word, through your Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, I pray that there will be a hunger that begin to envelop your people, Father. Lord, those things that we've maybe in our own lives that we just, that have been not beneficial at all, that we just lived with, That there become a dissatisfaction with those things in our life. And Lord, that those things that are religious ways, actually, that you begin to strip those off of us, Lord. You begin to reveal your goodness, your love, your mercy, Lord. How you want to speak to us in the nighttime. How you want to speak to us in the daytime. Lord, that we become accustomed to hearing your voice, Lord Jesus. The things that you're saying to us, Lord, that, Lord, those things that would hold us back, Lord, those things that would keep us in anxiety, that you would show us those things. You know, sometimes we just want someone to pray and say, anxiety be broken, but there's a thought process in your life that the Lord Jesus wants to change. It's an untruth that he wants to reveal to you so that it can be broken off of your life. Amen? Maybe there's a fear there that God wants to reveal to you, that you let go so that anxiety doesn't have a hold of you anymore. That fear that keeps you back, that the God will break that off. And I've come to realize many fears go back to people's childhoods, their whole life carrying fear. Lord Jesus, break those fears off your people. For you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Lord, how we love you and praise you. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. If you need prayer, come up here. We're going to have a time of baptism right after this. But if you need prayer, please come up here. If you have not given Jesus Christ, your heart to Jesus Christ, we would love to pray with you and introduce you to the God who made you and loves you. But the last thing, say, Lord, thank you for removing those things that would hold us back. Thank you, those things that need to be stripped, Lord. We give those things to you, Father, that we may hear your voice. And Lord, we jump into the waters of purpose without any hesitation. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love them? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.